Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Cancer Awareness Month here on the Joy Super Morning Show. My name is Kojo Akoto Boateng, and this episode, we are talking to Dr. Elliot Akoboham. He's a plastic surgeon at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, and he's talking to us about a very, very important aspect of cancer. So our first episode, we spoke to Professor Kafui Akapo, who is an anatomic pathologist. We basically kick-started the Cancer Awareness Month about understanding the basics and understanding cancers. At episode 2, we spoke about investigative tools for cancer diagnosis, and Dr. Albertina was our guest on that. She also took us through cancer diagnosis, the various ways doctors and health professionals, radiologists, and the consultants investigate to find cancers in our systems, and how their investigations inform the treatment strategy that's going to be used. And today, we are going to learn about the therapy options. There are a lot of therapy options, two main ones. And one of the key therapy options is surgical treatment. And our guest today will take us through that particular option and let us understand what it takes and what you must know as we all learn about cancers together and try to prevent and also fight them in Ghana. Doc, so, so great to have you on the show. Welcome to the Cancer Man, Dr. Boham.
Thank you very much.
Thanks I for hope having you're me. Well.
I'm very well. Life has been good. Yeah, thankful to God.
Yeah, so when I was doing my research on you, I learned that you used to be a great hockey player when you were in school, and you were one of those players who would never train, but you get on the pitch and you deliver the results for your team. Tell me about that.
Oh, so many waters passed under the bridge. It's been so many years. I have not touched the stick for more than 10 years. I don't know how good I am now. I don't think I can do the miles that I used to do some years ago. But yes, I played hockey. I played a lot of sports while I was in school. So you're not far from speaking the truth that I used to be good. Yes, I played for the university. I played for the national hockey team as well for a brief moment. But I really couldn't, you know, keep up because of the demands of academic work. But
it's what they say about you, true, that you never really trained for games, but whenever you got on the pitch, you got the results for your team.
Oh, that can be very true. We all train. You need to have energy. You need to be there. Because you can't just play for 2 hours, you know, without training. So, yes. Even if you may not be playing with a ball or the stick, you have to keep up running, you know.
Great. Yeah. So you are in medical school. You play for the school team. You play for the national team. Wow, that's something, you know. That's something. But this morning we are talking about cancer, and we are talking about the various therapy options. And one of the key therapy options is surgical treatment. I know you are a plastic surgeon. Where do you come in when it comes to the surgical treatment of cancers?
Well, it's very handsome that you're talking about cancers now, because over the past few years, the incidence of cancer is increasing the world over. And Ghana is not any different from these countries as well. Probably because our population is aging, and the more you grow, the higher the incidence of cancer. So I'm glad that we shed a light on this rather important topic, because, you know, we are growing and we are falling into the cancer group. For plastic surgeons, our primary objective in the treatment of cancer is with reconstruction. And of course, in certain parts of the body where other surgeons may not be as skilled as the plastic surgeon to to remove cancer. That's where we come in. So our primary aim is to reconstruct. Our other aim is to help, you know, take out this the tumor where other surgeons may not be skilled enough to do so.
Can you please describe the different types of cancer surgeries and when is it appropriate to use any of the types for treatment?
So for the surgical discipline, the surgery could be categorized into three main, where we use it to diagnose or to confirm diagnosis. So you take a bit of the tissue or the cancer cells, and then pathologists will report on it. And that will give us assurance or a confirmation that whatever we're dealing with is indeed cancer. And then there's the curative part of it, where when you know that this is indeed cancer, you could go ahead and take the tumor out. So think of it like you have a tree that's so big that is eaten into your house and causing you cracks. You could cut the roots that is directly eaten into the house and causing cracks. But if you do so, in no time, another root could grow and cause the same thing. But you could also cut down the whole tree and also take out the roots or the stem that is left. And by so doing, you'd have cured it completely. So that's the other part of surgery, that a surgeon with his knife would be able to go and cut out the tumor or the cancer and give cure to the patient. And the third part is reconstruction, where the part that was taken out is reconstructed. So take, for example, the parotid gland. That's the gland that produces a greater percentage of the saliva that you produce. It sits right below the ear. So if it has cancer and you go and take it out, you're going to leave a big space inside of the patient's face. So the surgeon's duty is now to find a way of closing that defect. And that's a reconstruction part of the, you know, of surgery. That same gland also has the facial nerve. So the movement of your face, all the movements that you do, your smile, all the movements that you do to contort your face, it is this nerve, this facial nerve, that supplies the muscles that do that. And that muscle, that nerve runs through this parotid gland. So if that nerve is also involved in tumor, it's excised. So when that is done, the patient cannot animate the face. And so it is the job of the surgeon to reconstruct this. If I bring it home, if a lady has breast cancer, the surgeon removes the breast, the lady has lost the symbol of her womanhood. And so it is the job of the surgeon, usually in the realm of a plastic surgeon, to reconstruct and give her a new breast. So that is the main categories in which we place surgery in the treatment of cancer.
Now, can all cancers be treated with surgery?
When you say all, obviously no. Not every cancer can be treated with surgery. Some are treated very efficiently with drugs. Some will require a measure of both surgical and medical treatment. Some you need to downstage it. In other words, the tumor is too big or too aggressive, and then you make it smaller for excision to be possible. Otherwise, you end up cutting so much tissue away, and then reconstruction becomes a bit more difficult.
So if I understand you very well, after the diagnosis, based on the investigations and the results you make, that's when you make a decision as to which direction to go, whether to use surgery to treat it, whether to use drugs or other means to treat it.
Yeah, you got it. What I'm saying is that the tumor, every tumor or every cancer would have their nature. Some cancers would just grow in a confinement, so they don't spread. Cancer by their nature would want to move from where they started elsewhere. So if you know that this cancer's properties are that they don't tend to move away from where they start, then you could, and then you know its property that they usually just move about a centimeter away from where they usually start, then you could go and excise a tumor So the thing is that when you say that you want to treat all cancers with by the knife, you are talking about surgeries that can be treated with a knife. If the cancer is that which can be treated by the knife, most of it can be done in country, except a few where you may have to get expertise from elsewhere to do the recon. For example, if somebody has a bone tumor where we excise the whole of the lower limb, and then we can't reconstruct because we don't have the appropriate prosthesis to solve the problem. Otherwise, most of the pathologies, the cancer pathologies that we have in the country, I think we have the surgeons to do that. So even the adrenal tumors can be handled in-house. The brain tumors, all of them can be handled in the country. I think the areas that we may be lacking are areas where we need minimally invasive procedures, because most of the approaches that we do in the country at the moment require us to do the open approach. A few of the disciplines would use the endoscopic approach, but the majority of the disciplines will still go the open approach, which is much more invasive and makes the patient stay a little bit longer in hospital.
If you say minimally invasive, what is it really?
So traditionally, I think it's easier for me to use the abdomen as an example. If, say, somebody has a cancer of the large bowel and needs surgery, the surgeon traditionally will make a cut from the upper part of the navel down to the pubic bone, and you open up the abdomen and go look for the tumor and cut it out. That long incision that you've made is another trauma that you've added to the patient, so it's going to take them a little time to recover. But that same surgery, if you have the skill, can be done through little pots. You make little pots, and a typical example is the laparoscopic surgery. So they make little holes into the abdomen and then use high definition cameras to see into the abdomen and then do the surgery, and then take the pot out and close it. So instead of having one long thick incision in the abdomen, you may have three or four pots, each of them about 2 centimeters in diameter, and the surgery can be done. And
So with the minimally invasive surgeries, I can assume that patients will recover quicker because you don't really give them the big cuts. These are small incisions, so they can recover and get back on their feet as early as possible, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Now, if somebody...
So it cuts across... Well, I was just going to say that it's not only an abdominal surgery, but I use that as an instance for us to get our heads around it. It's all spheres of medicine or surgery now are employing these endoscopic procedures.
Now, what should patients expect before, during, after cancer surgery?
I look at it this way, that it's another form of disease. If you come early, you would get treatment early and a cure. It's like having a tuber of yam and you have a little part of it rotten. You can dig in the knife and scoop up the rotten part. If you come early, you almost invariably would be able to get a cure. If you wait till it's too late, we would only do palliative. We will only ease your pain. It's not that we will, but that's the extent to which we can, or medicine will permit us to offer care. If we have the tumor gone beyond into the lungs and riddling every part of the body, you can't go and take the patient's lungs out. You can't go and take his brain out. So we would only do what is possible. But if you come early, cancer is curable. Cancer has treatment. So I don't think any patient who has cancer should despair. They should know that there is cure, there's treatment, and we have the personnel to solve the problem. My only plea will be that whatever swellings or whatever thing that is making you not feel well, seek attention early and you will get help early as well.
You just mentioned palliative surgery. So I want to assume that there is the opposite, which would be curative surgery. And you said that when you don't seek treatment early, then the best you can do is to do what you can do to ease the pain. That is the palliative surgery. So you do surgery that actually results in people getting completely cured of their cancers, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So again, maybe it's easier for us to talk about breast cancer, for instance. If you come early with a breast, not you, the patient comes early with...
Well, I heard that men also have breast cancer sometimes.
Yes, men do. But all I'm saying is that if the patient reports early and the tumor is small, maybe less than 1 centimeter, you can actually do surgery, excise part of the breast, inclusive of the tumor or the cancer, and preserve the rest of the breast. You may give some medicines to, you know, fight the disease that presumably may have gone beyond the breast. But after that, the patient is cured. So once the patient reports early, even with prostate cancer, once the patient reports early, there's almost invariably the opportunity for a complete cure. And many people have had cure just because they reported early.
So there's hope. Cancer is a killer. Cancer is a killer, but if you take action early, yes, you can kill it, really.
It can kill it. Thank you very much for adding that. And I need to stress that the nature of cancer by itself is that they don't want to stay where they started. They want to go somewhere else. And they'll go somewhere else through the blood or through the lymphatics. And so the more the cancer grows, the more it stays there, the more it wants to go further away from where it wants to go. And usually they're going to the lungs, they're going to the liver, they're going to the brain, they're going to the bones, the spine, anywhere that they want to, they may find. So that's when it becomes even more dangerous.
So in all this,
why we are saying that come early.
Looking at the curative, the palliative surgery options and all those things, what are the risks and the complications? And how do we prepare in the face of these risks and complications to reduce any effects?
Or, I mean, the complications will be tailored or would be from the kind of surgery that's done. So all complications may not be the same, but... commonly, you're looking at adjacent structures. So if you're working, say, on the breast, a common complication would be that when you are teasing out the lymph nodes from the axilla, you may damage the artery that gives blood to the whole of the arm. And even there are some nerves there as well. You may have swellings, so contiguous damage to adjacent structures, you know, that is the most common complication that may happen. But it's also that you are operating in such areas, so those injuries can happen, especially if it's in a complex area or in a crowded area. So you're working the pelvis, small space, you know, if the surgeon doesn't know. I assume that all the surgeons know what they're doing, but it's a human institution, and some of these injuries may happen. But the others are, you know, long hours of surgery. So even the fact that you have the tumor itself may predispose you to forming clots. So lying down for a long surgery, you know, may predispose you to clots, which may eventually cause breathing problems for you and all that. So I think the complications is still it towards the particular cancer that the patient has.
Wow. Dr. Elliot Akoboham is my guest on this episode of the Cancer Awareness Month here on Joy Super Morning Show. And we are talking about surgery as an option to treating cancer. And so far, Doc has downloaded a lot of information for us, and I'm wrapping up the conversation now with Doug. But I'd like to know, usually, is surgery done alone or is combined with other treatments?
I think we mentioned that in passing earlier on, that because the cancer wants to move to other places, even if you've excised it, if you go and take it out, they might still be some cells that have gone beyond where you thought that the tumor typically grows to. So you would want to look for all these little cells that have gone beyond by giving drugs, the chemo drugs that you probably might have heard about. Sometimes we give drugs before the surgery. So the tumor is too big, and then you want to give the drugs so that it suppresses or shrinks the size of the tumor so that the excision will be easier. Not easier per se, but less destructive. You know, so you have a big tumor eating into other tissues, and then you give the drug, and then you downstage it. It becomes smaller, and then you can comfortably take it out without destroying other tissues. So you are doing this combination either with drugs or even with radiotherapy. You know, so these two, surgery, drugs, and then radiotherapy. These three, we combine them in the treatment of cancer, just to give the ultimate treatment.
Great. I have a friend who recently underwent treatment for breast cancer, and we talk quite a lot. And these days she tells me she's unable to eat. Usually when she eats, she throws up and she's weak. And I have other friends who have also undergone different procedures, and they seem okay. It looks like nothing has happened to them. And generally, people fear cancer and people fear undergoing surgeries for cancer. So instead of coming to see you, doctors, they would rather seek other alternatives, maybe traditional medicine, going for prayers and all those things. What misconceptions do people have about surgeries, especially when it comes to cancer, that we must disabuse our minds of as we work together to fight this?
I think some time back, maybe some 20 years ago, it was quite, people feared anesthesia, whether it's for cancer surgery or for any type of surgery. So that kind of misconception has still been carried through till now, and people still think that anesthesia is, you know, such a big thing that they don't want to go through anesthesia. And I think that it's not the surgery per se. I think it's the fear of being put to sleep, to be approached upon. Because when you talk to a lot of the patients, their first rejection is, they're going to put me to sleep. You know, I lose myself. But anesthesia has come a far way that it's very safe. And I don't think anybody should be afraid of going through surgery to have treatment. The most important thing is go to the qualified person that can give the service. Obviously, if you're going to somebody who is not very qualified, then some of the incidents that we hear about would happen. But in the qualified hands, in the appropriate hospitals where they have all the facilities to resuscitate you if need be, you shouldn't be afraid. Again, going through the pastors and what have you will only delay you. And we've spoken about delays, and that the fact that the longer it takes you to report to hospital, you give a chance to the tumor to spread. So you don't want to stay for a longer period at home without attending the hospital. And I always give my patient a question. Would you rather travel with somebody who went to learn how to fly for 5 years, or how many years it takes them to learn how to fly? Or you rather give fly on a broom with a witch mother or grandmother or grandfather or whoever it is? And they all burst into laugh. Yes. So I think we should understand that people go to school for a particular reason, to get the expertise to solve problems. And if you trust that the people who, some of them are your friends, some of them are your boyfriends, some of them are your girlfriends, some of the people that you aspire to be, they have learned a skill and they're there to help you. You go to the market to buy the best wares. You don't go to the market to get, you know, rotten stuff. So look for the best person. Look for the best hospital. Look for the best supermarket. That's where you want to get your Gucci bags from. Go there and you get your treatment. You get good service. Don't be afraid. Surgery is safe. The people have all been through the mill. That is why they are certified. None of the people that you go to see, if they fail the exams, would have been passed. It means they're people of worth. So trust the system. Give yourself to them, and they'll be able to treat and manage your cancers for you.
Don't be afraid. Trust the system. Surgery is safe. Trust our professionals. They have been trained. They've been certified, and they can help you through it. In fact, they are ever ready to help you through the process. Dr. Elliot Akuboam, it's been great talking to you here on the Cancer Awareness Month series. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you here so
on
much
the also. Super Morning Show. Dr. Elliot Akuboam is a plastic surgeon with the Kolibu Teaching Hospital, and we are told that he's one of Ghana's finest hockey players ever, and now one of our finest plastic surgeons joining us here on the show. God bless you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
My name is Jojo Akoto Boateng. This has been the Cancer Awareness Month conversation. The Super Morning Show continues shortly. Stay with us.